Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, it's very common here in Newstalk that we have journalism students on internships as part of their degree. What's more uncommon is that they turn out to be double Emmy-winning news anchors and journalists. The one we have with us is Erin Meehan. Breen, Erin, good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Tell us how you ended up not in Newstalk, but how you ended up in Ireland.
Well, I came here mostly, I helped my dad get, my father's grandparents are from Sligo. Mm-hmm. My great-grandparents. And he always wanted to be an Irish citizen. So late in life, when he was about 70, I helped him get his citizenship. So I went through all the steps and, you know, learned a lot about the family. And then when my youngest daughter moved out, I just thought, you know what? This is my chance to actually move here.
Yeah.
So I'm using school as the reason that I'm here. It gets me here to live here for a year, you know. But I really didn't know much about Ireland until when my father died. I brought his ashes here. Mm. He wanted one of the six kids. There's six kids in my family. I'm the youngest. He wanted one of the six kids to bring his ashes to Ireland, and he had a list of all of the places he wanted his ashes to be. Galway Bay and Sligo and all these places. So I went around Ireland with his ashes. That's probably illegal. I shouldn't be saying that.
I don't know. I think it probably is legal. It was kind of a tour for the ashes. And did you leave little bits of them in all the different
here,
places?
A little bit there. I did. He's around. I see him in Galway Bay all the time now.
That's very sweet.
Yeah,
What was his final resting place, so to speak?
Well, part of him is in, believe it or not, most of him is in the St. Lawrence River in New York.
Right, okay. So he's on both sides of the Atlantic.
Yeah, he's on both sides of the pond, yeah.
That's a nice thought. Now, you are studying for a master's in journalism in NUIG, though it seems you scarcely need one, given that you have decades of experience as a print journalist, as a news anchor. As I mentioned in the introduction, you've won two Emmys.
Yeah, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Always exciting.
Is it just so you can stay in the country for a while?
Well, I want to do that. But I also, you know, I didn't think I needed any more degrees. I've worked so long.
Mm.
But the universities will tell you differently. If you want to teach, and I was teaching at a university about the size of NUI Galway and working for CBS, both.
Mm.
And a full-time job came up and they said, we'd love to hire you, but you don't have your master's. I said, are you kidding me? So I just decided, you know what? That's the reason to go to Ireland. I'm going to apply to go to school. So I decided to start taking the exams, which I did. And then I thought, I'm only going to apply in Ireland.
Mm.
And so I was surprised. And I didn't tell CBS I was leaving until I was accepted and knew exactly what I was doing, because I left just before the election. I left in August. And they weren't happy. But what are you going to do when you get accepted? I wanted, this is a dream to come here to live for a year. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Did the journalist part of you say, oh my God, this is the biggest story in years?
No, I was sick of it because I followed all of those candidates for a year and a half before.
Mm.
And I was tired of all of them and I was ready to go. No, I think that the way the media covered the election in the United States, I don't know that they did it all justice. There were a lot of problems with it. And I think the media caused a lot of the problems. And I was ready for a break from the whole thing. I've been in this so long.
In what way did the media cause the problems, do you think?
I think that the way they selected to cover a lot of the candidates, they didn't get fair shakes. They covered everything every time Donald Trump opened his mouth.
Mm.
What built him up in the media was everybody cashing in every time he made a statement. Didn't matter what it was about. Didn't matter if it was true. It just made headlines.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have made. He should not have had all of the headlines all of the time. They should have really been talking to the candidates about what we're going to do with trade. What are we going to do with immigration? What are some of the answers to our problems? But they cashed in for the cheap headline every time.
Mm.
Why? Because of ratings.
Because I suppose that maybe earlier on in the campaign or even before the campaign started, he would have been in the kind of story. He would have been the kicker at the end. The kind of, and Donald Trump's running for the presidency, but that became the main headline news, everything he did and everywhere
and everything
and the strangeness
he said,
of it all.
The stupider his comments were, the more play they got in the media. And everybody, every news cycle was centered around what he had to say, what is he going to say, and nobody even listened to any of the other candidates.
Mm. It was always there anyway, but his candidacy did throw up this problem of fake news. And of course, there are differing definitions of what fake news is. It seems like a lot of the time it's just, that's just something I don't agree with, so it's fake news. But there is the problem of telling outright lies and or falsehoods that's being reported. He's done it. Lots of people are doing it.
Exactly. He's almost ground zero for that.
Yes. Which throws up huge problems. And when you look around at your classmates, when you looked at the students he used to teach in Reno, it seems to be a much more difficult job. It's going to be a much more difficult job for them to know if when they're reporting something, whether it's actually true or not.
Right. But if you go by the tenets of journalism, you don't report things until you've got a couple of sources on it. I mean, you check them out. And that's what, you know, you should be teaching. That's what they should be learning, is you don't just take anything at face value. You need to make some calls.
Yeah.
You need to check it out. You don't just throw it up there.
But that's the problem, though. In the in the digital age,
that's true.
First is best. It doesn't matter if it's accurate or not.
Oh, I know. It's a horrible snowball right now. I agree. It is. But if you maintain your objectivity, and if you stick with what journalism should be about, which is comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable, you've got to stick to those. If not, you're just blathering. I mean, you know, and you're part of the problem. I find that. And I do not agree with everything that's going on in the journalism schools. No, I don't. I don't. Because I think that having worked in this so long, I can see how the media has become the celebrities. The media, I mean, what? The White House press dinner is tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Trump won't be going
there
to that. Yeah. He is going to be off at a rally trying to create more headlines of something else, right? I don't even agree that they should even have that dinner. Why? If you're covering the government, you should not be going to dinner. That's just wrong.
It's too
cozy. You know
cozy.
What I mean?
It's too cozy.
Yeah, and they're all, and then they all become, oh, we're part of the celebrity pack, and all of the people from Hollywood are coming in, and all this other stuff. You know, that's not what journalism is about, and it shouldn't be about that. It should be ruffling some feathers and asking some questions and putting people's feet to the fire. And more of the correspondents, not all of them, but I mean, we've got some, I don't know, when you got a Wolf Blitzer and you got some of these people that just are for the headlines.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that it hurts journalism.
Though I suppose one could argue, given that there's the White House press corps and it seems very regimented, who sits where, what kind of pass you have, how long you've been there and seniority. And Trump at least has blazed through all that and said, I don't care who you work for or how long you've been here for.
I don't think they should hold a dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, if they want to have a little dinner for themselves and they do it as the journalists, then do it. But I don't think you should be mixing like that. I just don't think it should be. I've never thought that was a good idea.
And this weekend is the first 100 days, which I don't know. I think it's not a stupid denomination to use because it's completely arbitrary. How do you think he's done anyway in his first 100 days?
You know what? He has shown that all along, I didn't think he wanted this job. He just wanted to be able to say he won. He likes to win.
Mm.
I don't think he wanted to do the job. I don't think he understood what was involved in the job. And he's beginning to learn that. The one thing you have to give him credit for is he's been an active president. Now, he hasn't sailed out very many successes yet.
Mm.
And he's gotten shot down with his executive orders. But you have to give him credit for setting some kind of a course. He wants, I mean, that's what the president should be doing in the first 100 days, is set a course. Where are we going from here?
Mm.
And he has done that. And I really think the only reason he got in, though, was because people were tired of the same old thing in the United States. They wanted change. It's unfortunate that this is the change. This is the change. I don't know if this is what they bargained for, but they wanted change. And he will bring change.
Mm.
He is going to bring change. Now, I don't think he'll be there more than 4 years, because if he lasts that long, he'll last that long. But I mean, I don't think he would run again. This is not what he wants to do. He wants to go out and, you know, rub elbows with other celebrities and that kind of stuff.
I think he's also finding out just how frustrating being a politician can be, because it's always three steps forward, two steps back, and you have to, everything gets watered down. You can't have everything you want.
No, and you can't get much done in 100 days. I think people realize that. FDR did. Because it was the war. We had to fix things, right?
Yeah.
And he did get a lot of things done. And that's why they started counting the 100 days. What have you gotten done? But if you look what happened to Kennedy. As soon as he got in, no one even talked about the campaigns anymore. No campaign promises. He had to deal with the Bay of Pigs. There's just things change once you get into office. And I think that he will try to push these big things that he's always talked about, with the wall and changing immigration, all these other things. And actually, he's doing some good things for immigration in the fact that he has scared people.
Yeah.
Yes, he's rounded up some people, but he's scared them. And that either they have to fix the immigration system so that people can get some citizenship. I don't think they'll ever build that wall. It's stupid.
No.
It's a waste of money.
Mm.
He'll find a way to swing it to his positive side, though. He'll say, look, you know, we'll build something. It'll be much smaller and downsized, and he'll figure out a way to say that Mexico's going to help pay for it somehow. But yeah, I don't think it's not. I mean, it's not realistic.
It's a patio fence.
And it's not the answer. The answer is fix the system.
Yeah.
Not build a wall. It's crazy.
Do you think also, because it strikes me that a lot of newly elected presidents don't really know because they've never done it before. They don't know what being president entails, whether they've got much political experience or not. But perhaps they're wise enough to surround themselves with people who have some experience about how that system works. He seems to have surrounded himself with people who have no clue how the system works.
I know, just his friends. And you know what? There's another problem with journalism these days is the silo effect, where you just are in a bubble with the people that you know, you create your own circumstances. You only listen to Fox News if you're a Republican. You only listen to MSNBC if you're a Democrat, right? He's kind of done that with the people he's surrounded himself with. So nobody challenges him. And I think you need to have kind of a balanced set of people in the White House. Or, I mean, you can't always agree on everything. You need to have people who know what needs to be done, when it needs to be done. And he just has his friends in there. And that's going to bite him over and over, I think.
The other thing that struck me about after he was elected, lots of, you know, lots of protests, lots of outrage about what he purportedly stands for. But not much of that was aimed towards the Democratic Party because, you know, he won. But the Democrats lost. They lost spectacularly and for a lot of reasons that were their own faults. And I don't get the impression the Democrats are sitting down going, there was a whole swathe of the American people that we used to represent, but we don't represent anymore.
I think the whole political system, this is just one of the first steps, and it's a necessary step we're going to have to take to change the system. Because the Republican Party, neither of the parties are really representing the people anymore. And if you look at the politicians that are in office, they aren't even representing, like, I don't feel like we're completely represented out of the state of Nevada or any of the states, really. The politicians' biggest concern right now has become holding onto those jobs and their reelection. And how much money can they raise for the campaigns to keep everybody in their pockets so that they can maintain the power? It's all about the power there. And it's wrong. It's not representing the people. And things aren't happening the way they want. The one good thing with the Obamacare thing is they want to repeal it. I mean, the Republicans keep saying they want to, but they don't have an idea on how to do it. And you know what I mean? They don't know what it is that they need to do to fix it. And nobody's looking at it. Even he has said, oh, this is way more complicated than I thought.
Yes, who knew it could be
right? Who knew it could be
everybody except you.
Yeah, exactly. Which is crazy.
Though then again, when you look at, since you've got here, when you look at Irish politics, aren't all politicians essentially the same? They do tend to get into those bubbles.
I don't think your problems are as big as ours, but yeah. I have been surprised. You have a lot of politicians. Many, many TDs, way more. We have one or two per state, right?
Yeah.
You've got a lot of them in there. And I thought it was astounding to be able to just call them up on cell phones. And if you've got a problem, they're not going to fix anything big like the abortion issue. They're kicking that can down the road just like we do in the United States when we don't want to take any action. But you can call them and ask about a parking ticket or your papers for this, and they are on it. Yeah. On a very local level. You don't find that in the United States. It's hard to get anybody's attention in Washington.
Yeah. Well, a lot of North Americans particularly are always amazed by just how accessible our politicians
That's
are,
what
which
I mean.
Is not necessarily a bad thing. But then again, sometimes they concentrate too much in doing those little things.
Exactly.
And not the big things.
Yeah. And I don't see them fixing some of your big problems here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the answers are to them, but I just seems like at some point the politicians on either side really need to dig in and make some hard decisions. You're not going to be popular. You're going to hurt some people's feelings, but you got to be realistic about it and fix it.
Aaron, thanks a million for coming in to talk to us.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.